You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
When it comes to protecting your most valuable possessions, talk to a real person, not some website. Give a Cleveland Allstate agent a call today. Are you in good hands? 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by the good folks at Liberty Ford. Aditi Kinkoabala saying, Browns quarterback staying on the field to chat with Dylan Sutcliffe, nine-year-old man, signed to the team for a day. Whole team mob Dylan after practice, hashtag touching. Very cool, and there's lots of good stuff on the Browns official Twitter about this. Cleveland Browns, it's just at Browns on Twitter. They got a Vine of Dylan and Phil Taylor breaking it down after practice. A lot of pictures of him talking to quarterback Johnny Manziel, quarterback Josh McCown, et cetera. So a lot of stuff. Check it out. Just a very, very good moment. John Hughes tweeting out, congrats to the newest member of the squad. Jersey looks good on you, Dylan. Tweeting out a picture of Dylan in his custom number 7 Browns jersey. We'll have that press conference with general manager Ray Farmer from earlier today for you as well. So very cool. Mike Pettine calling it a special day for the team and the players. Were you ever a part of anything like that with the Chargers, the Packers, the Niners?
Yeah, if it was anywhere, it was San Diego. I don't remember off the top of my head. San Diego was a very, very active organization, just like the Cleveland Browns. A lot of the San Diego involvement, though, was military driven. Mm-hmm. You know, Wounded Warriors and things of that sort. Got some great experiences and learned a lot. And built a lot of respect for those, serving in the armed forces or those that have as well. Just, you know, visiting with veterans, opportunity to, you know, to fly in the helicopters, go out on, aircraft carriers, and things of that sort. It was very, very neat, very cool. So a lot of it was very military-centric out in San Diego.
Did you ever get to go Miramar Naval Air Station?
Yes.
Top Gun, man.
Top Gun.
I always
Sweet.
Wanted to go there.
Yeah.
Flying
F-14. Every time you drive up to L.A., you drive by it. It's very cool.
It is cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah, so that was the big story for the Browns. Practice, you got any questions about practice? Who stood out? Who looked good? We'll do that. Here's an interesting one. Cody Murphy tweets us, I want to buy a jersey at FanFest this weekend. Which player besides Joe Hayden would be a longtime Brown/good jersey grab?
Joel Bitonio?
Joel Bitonio is a safe
one. Not saying
one.
It's the sexiest choice. I think it's
one.
Very safe.
It's a safe one.
Let's see, what else?
Danny Shelton.
Danny Shelton would be a great one. Cam Irving would be a great one.
Duke Johnson.
Nate Orchard would be a good one.
The Crow.
The Crow. Oh. The Crow. You never know, man, though. I'm just saying, he blows up, you get big money in 2 years.
Listen, man.
Hey, you listen, man.
You listen, man. So I think that those would be some good choices for you. I'd focus the defensive side of the ball, or if you're going on the offense of a running back.
Yeah.
Duke Johnson.
Cam Irving.
The Crow or a Cam Irving. I don't think people... I'd go Bitonio right now before I'd go Cam Irving.
Yeah, but Cam Irving's the fresh, hot face.
He's the fresh
on that offensive line.
Joel Bitonio is going to be a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro for years and years. So thank you very much for that question, Cody. We appreciate that. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. When you guys got to do those things with the military players or today, like, you know, the Browns got to do with Dylan Sutcliffe, Is that something that makes you, does it help practice? Is it a distraction, or is it just something that's just a good moment everybody can bond over and it kind of brings everybody together?
It helps practice. In no way is it a distraction. You know it's coming. Coach Pettine or your position coaches or coordinators would have let you know of what's happening and who's going to be out of practice. But it may draw your attention early in the walkthrough stretching portion of practice. But once the nitty-gritty of football starts, the one-on-ones, because especially with this roster, like a lot of NFL rosters, the competition, you can't let one OTA go by without you taking that step that I consistently talk about. And then thereafter, you know, once it's done, you decompress and you become human again in some cases, and you go over there, and as I said, your well wishes, your prayers, and just enjoying Dylan, you know, and what's so cool is the fact that they made him a Brown. He is now essentially, you know, rubbing elbows with his teammates.
Very cool. Very, very neat moment. Again, still to come here on today's show, Joe Thomas will be with us. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will hear Dylan Sutcliffe's press conference from today when he was signed to the Browns on a one-day deal. We'll also hear Mike Pettine's post-practice presser as well. Some NFL news today. Adrian Peterson has returned to the Minnesota Vikings. The first pictures of AP and Theodore hitting the internet and people in Minnesota anyway, very excited about it.
Oh, you have to be. And just reading a Pro Football Talk article about it this morning, Adrian Peterson tried to take, you know, try to strong arm the organization on not showing up, demanding a trade, demanding a contract, all those demands that he had. But ultimately, Coach Zimmer gave him the opportunity. You're either going to be a Viking or you're not going to be a Viking, but you're not going to play on another team. And at this point right now, he understood, and his agent and his business manager I always talk about probably just said, hey, dude, we got nowhere else to go but to report to practice.
And that's what he has done. He is there now, and he is ready to go for that team. So Peter King maybe had some inside information when he released them as the number 6 team overall in his power rankings. The Browns, of course, were 27th, as we talked about that yesterday. So that's the big news from around the NFL. Also, the Saints have signed Cameron Jordan to a 5-year contract extension. And those wondering for their fantasy teams, Odell Beckham says his hamstring injury that has forced him out of practice, not anywhere near what it was like last year. So nothing to see there, nothing to get concerned about. When do you, as you watch these OTAs, Matt, and you see all the things that are happening, you chatted a little bit with John DeFilippo talking about the window dressing on the offense and all the motions, etc. When do you want to see this offense really start to click and have a day where the offense gets the better of the defense? At what point do you feel like you need to see that happen? Should it happen at least once in these OTAs?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. It should happen at least once in these OTAs where the offense clicks, gets it, and has the upper hand from a practice standpoint. But then even more so, I just want to see the overall body of work complete during that minicamp. Because I continue to use the ladder or the steps analogy, but every single day you're taking a step as an offense, and you never want to regress. And then you have that 3-day period that is mandatory for guys to be there in minicamp. And you want to go out and you want to take everything that you learned in OTAs and apply it. And then there's the time off before you report to training camp. And not only is it time off for the players, but there's a little bit of time off for the coaches after they evaluate the minicamp and the OTAs practices that they've had. And John DeFilippo at that point, as well as Jim O'Neill, but he's just, you know, one step ahead, really evaluates who we are. By the time minicamp's over, we should know what this offense is going to look like. John DeFilippo knows what is his wheelhouse. Who can he rely on, you know, on 3rd and 5? Those situations are being proven to him right now during these OTAs and minicamp. And therefore, all you want to do when training camp arrives, because you got 13 practices, 13 days before your first preseason game, and then, you know, another 20 days, and you're playing real football with the bullets flying. You want to know who you are so that when those pads come on, there's no holding back. There's no figuring out in training camp, you know, who can do what. That's what we do right now, and that's why these installations that we've talked about and defined what those installations are so important to a team like the Cleveland Browns.
How important is it for a guy like Brian Hartline, who's an established veteran in the NFL, who hasn't been practicing, didn't practice today, and today's practice open to the media? How important is it for him to get back out on the field and get that timing down and start to get in rhythm with Josh McCown? It's obviously less important than a rookie, but it's still got to be important. New system, new team, new environment.
It does, and that's something that, you know, you and I really haven't seen, you know, because he's been out of a few practices. You know, today he was out, you know, with the media available as well. It's not crucial. It's not an issue to dwell on, but it's something that you would like to see happening. You know, the same way that we talked about Josh McCown going to Taylor Gabriel, you want to see that going to Brian Hartline in a practice or multiple practices so that we understand that he's a viable option and for all of us as analysts and as fans to gauge what type of impact is Brian Hartline as a free agent going to have this year from an offensive perspective. So you'd love to have him out there, but it's not the end all. Brian Hartline is a pro. He's proven it. But yes, the rapport being developed between him and Josh McCown moving forward, you would like to see that. And as we know in talking to Brian, you know, walking off the field, that it's not serious. They're just giving him some time off, very similar to Kyrie right now. You know, maybe some tendonitis, a sprained ankle. Give him a day or two, come back 100%.
Also want to just note Mike Pettine saying Dwayne Bowe tweaked his knee today, went in. That's why he was not out there for the final team portions of practice, but they don't think it's serious. Should be back Thursday or next week
good.
As the OTAs continue. So that certainly is good. And, of course, with Joe Thomas getting the day off today, Cam Irving was the left tackle with the first team. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Cam in Canada. What's up, Cam?
Hey, guys. How's she going?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing great. So, you know, I'm so disappointed that there's a lack of connect between the national negativity, the media that everyone complains about. And I don't think that necessarily some of the media agents in Cleveland are understanding that's where it's all incubating and that's where it actually ignites. So, like, other cities, like, if you look at Atlanta and you look at what happened when one of the media people from Cleveland went down there and had a talk show and kind of not attacked him, but had some fun with him. Like, they were vicious. They fought back. And you guys get accused all the time of being overly positive, and I don't think you are. I think you're just where you need to be. I think you guys call a spade, but I'm just trying to figure out how the local media in Cleveland doesn't understand that they're the ones that are starting. Like, I basically feel sometimes like I'm following the Cleveland Manson family. Like, what is wrong with what's going on with the Browns right now? It almost feels like sometimes like the local media is actually taking pleasure in making them look bad on a national level, and it's disgusting.
I would say that the national or the perspective of these local media people, I think that they know, first of all, that kind of stuff sells better.
Of course.
You know, the negativity, this town kind of feeds off of it. And frankly, they haven't won.
Yes.
They've got to win.
That's the point that I was going to make. So the frustration that the diehard Cleveland Browns fan has, that same frustration lies somewhere within the local media on consistently having to write about a bad football team or a disorganized franchise or some trouble going on within the organization. And I look forward to the day where we really have to understand how good these media, the local media is and are writing about a successful Browns franchise.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Right. What are they going to write about? You know?
Hopefully they'll embrace it and write about the fact that the team is doing well. That's what you need to see. It is very much, though, for the Browns. Even Peter King, his reason for having them at 27th, I don't like falling in love with this team every June, and I want to see it. The Jason Gibbs syndrome. I got to see it.
Prove it to me.
Prove it to me. Let's go to Jay in Florida now. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. First-time caller. I actually tweet you guys all the time.
Awesome, man. Thanks for calling.
Bro through Cleveland.
I
was calling today about the running back, fullback situation.
Yeah.
It seems like we have a great stable of running backs and stuff, and, like, how many are we actually going to keep on the team? Like, I know Luke Lundy, Glenn Winston is back there and stuff. And it seems like you guys aren't – like, Terrence West is just doing okay. I mean, is West possibly going
to
get cut if he's going to do that?
It's very hard to tell at this stage. I don't think Terrence West is in danger of getting cut. I wouldn't say that, and I certainly am not trying to give that impression at all. I think when you look at the backs, you're going to have – I think Crow, West, and Duke Johnson will make the team.
Yes.
I think Malcolm Johnson is going to kind of qualify as that fullback, and that might be it.
I think that's it.
I don't know that that's set in stone. They could go ahead. Glenn Winston could make this football team. Luke Lundy had a great catch.
Does Glenn Winston still have a practice squad year left available?
I don't know if he does or not.
That's something that could be a factor as well.
But, for example, last year they carried four running backs for a lot of the season. Glenn Winston was up and then would either, you know, be active and play a lot of special teams, or he wouldn't necessarily be up in the final 53.
And you make a great point with Glenn Winston's participation in special teams, because as I've been watching practice, I also pay attention to the special teams portion, because that was a big portion of my career. And I know Terrence West is playing a wing position on a punt team. I would doubt he's on a punt return team. I would doubt that he's on a kickoff coverage team. And then maybe somewhere on a kickoff return team. So the special teams participation that you're going to get out of the running back rooms is Duke Johnson as a returner, Terrence West maybe on one of four, Isaiah Crowell probably on none of four, maybe one of four, and then Malcolm Johnson will probably be, you know, given – based on the personnel for the upcoming week offensively, he'll be a 25 to 35 rep a game offensive guy. He might be a two or three team special teams guy. So you're not getting a whole lot of active participation. So I can understand why Winston, you know, he's going to be not only a backup at running back to give you extra depth, but he's going to be a four team special teams guy.
Well, and again, I wonder if this team, and I think their goal is, and I hope their goal is, what I've heard, you know, that Duke Johnson, a lot of Giovanni Bernard. I want this team to have a Jeremy Hill to go with the Giovanni Bernard so that you have that one guy that can run the football, and then you have the other guy who's your change of pace, can also run it, catch it out of the backfield. But one guy. I think if you split up that Jeremy Hill role into two guys, yeah, nobody ever gets into a rhythm. So
right.
Then if that is the case, so let's say the Crow becomes your main guy, Duke Johnson, Crow's your Jeremy Hill, Duke Johnson's your Giovanni Bernard. That third back that's going to be up is going to have to play special teams.
Yes, absolutely. At least two out of the four groups. When I talk about punt return, kickoff return. And to me personally, I don't think Terrence West is a guy that's going to run down on a kickoff. First of all, because he probably doesn't want to. Secondly, because I wouldn't trust him tackling anybody. So he's off the kickoff team. And then, as I have already mentioned, he's been taking reps at wing on the punt team. So they do have faith in him to do his job, protect, and then get out and potentially make a tackle if he had to. But he'd have to actively participate in another group. And like I said, Malcolm Johnson as a rookie, as a partial offensive rep guy, he could be listed as a starter 1 week but only play 20 reps.
Right.
He's going to be an active participant on special teams as well.
He is, and we've seen them work Luke Lundy in at fullback as well. That guy's going to be a training camp sensation, Luke Lundy. I'm calling it right now. He's going to be one of the favorites of the dog.
He made a great one-handed catch today.
He did, yeah, for a touchdown off of the hand of Thad Lewis down there in the red zone. All right, when we come back, we'll continue this first hour, 216-578-0850. We still to come, Joe Thomas. We've got Dylan's press conference as well, all coming up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.